Jibe Daya, this is what you're all engaged in, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. There's in the footnote here, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who of course wrote this song, Kobe as we Kobe Hobe Bolo Shede Nama, Bigopti, it means a prayer or a plea. So he describes Jibe Doya, mercy to the jivas. Krishna Tate Anabhigya Bhakti Gonke Krishna Shebai Prarochana Jibe Ata Shambhodhini Doya. So this is a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which appears in his magazine, Sajjana Toshani, that to inspire, or your real mercy for the jivas. Mercy means in connection with their very self, Atma Sambandhini Daya, is to inspire, inspire for Krishna's service persons who are ignorant of knowledge of Krishna. So that's a good description of book distribution, isn't it? What do you think? Let's just look up that word. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going. I had an idea to go through the section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in which the qualities of Krishna are described, because after all, we're supposed to be Krishna conscious, and it's nice to hear about Krishna. Although often, well, we do hear about Krishna, but often just how we can fix our faith in the Supreme Lord and drive out all the wrong philosophies. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is very much concentrated on the subject of Krishna, because he is, as Rupa Goswami, the author of the book, says near the beginning, Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the very form of the nectar of all rasas. So rasa is inspired by various inspirational phenomena, which are called technically in Sanskrit udipana. So one section of the udipanas, or the inspirations for rasa or for bhakti, are the qualities of Krishna. So Rupa Goswami enumerates 64 of them. At one point I started to lecture on them, but at that time I didn't have a translation of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with me, or a copy of the Nectar of Devotion. I just had a list, so it was a bit vague. Anyway, I'll go through some of them now. The first of the qualities that Rupa Goswami lists is suramyangaha, which means a person who is endowed with praiseworthy bodily parts. It means beautifully limbed. All the parts of his body are very beautiful. Now, there's a verse, which not said where this is from, that how sweet is the form of Murari. Murari is a common name of Krishna. I don't know why exactly, because Krishna's killed so many demons, and the Mura demon isn't that famous, the incident of killing the Mura demon. It's a very common name. You'll find the gopis use this word Murari several times in Bhagavatam. The gopis use this. Anyway, he's very sweet. Even though he's killing demons, he's very sweet. His face is like the moon. His thighs are like elephant trunks. Otherwise, they're very big and strong. His arms are as sturdy. You know what sturdy means? It means very strong. Very strong and immovable, as the bases of pillars. His hands are praiseworthy by lotuses. It's ornamental language, that even the lotus, which is praised for being beautiful, would praise Krishna's hands. His chest is as broad as a door, his hips are huge, and his waist is thin. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, because Rupa Goswami wrote the book, and Jiva Goswami was one of the commentators on it, says that Krishna is compared to the moon, but it's just to give some idea, because Krishna is much more beautiful than the moon. So anyway, Krishna is very... We'll find this theme coming again and again. It's mentioned several times in the qualities of Krishna, that he's very beautiful. His body is very beautiful. I mean, there are many, many... some verses are given, they're quoted from different scriptures for each of the qualities, but about Krishna's beauty, there are innumerable verses. And so many Vaishnava poets have composed so many poems and songs about Krishna's beauty. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. We all know that line very well. Now, similar to this is the second quality, sarvasal lakshanan vitaha. Krishna's body is endowed with all auspicious features. So Rupa Goswami goes on to say that there are two kinds of auspicious features. Just like we see when Shukadev Goswami came into the assembly of Parikshit Maharaj, and there were so many rishis sitting there, that they all immediately recognized by his bodily features he was a great person. So there are two types of bodily features. One is auspicious characteristics, yeah. One is bodily features, and the other is the markings on the hands and the feet. So, palmists do that even today, don't they? They look at your hands and see, oh, that's auspicious. But Krishna has some specific marks. So, the auspicious bodily features. There's a verse which describes them. Seven places on Krishna's body are red. They are the edges of his eyes. If people have red eyes, sometimes we think they don't get enough sleep, or they're angry, or they've been crying a lot. But Krishna's naturally red. The soles of the feet, the palms of the hand, the roof of the mouth, that means the palate. It's called, what's that called? Tal, is it? The top of the mouth. The upper and lower lips, the tongue and the nails. Then there are six elevated limbs, the chest, the shoulders, the nails, the nose, waist, and mouth. The three broad limbs, very big, waist, forehead, and chest. The short limbs are the neck, lower legs, and genital. So, sometimes people think to have a big genital like a horse is something good, but it's auspicious to have a small genital. Three deep limbs are the navel, the voice, and the intelligence. Deep voice. Krishna has a very deep voice. Where is that mentioned in Bhagavatam? Can anyone think in relation to Jarasandha? Anyone? Krishna came with Bhima and Arjuna disguised as brahmanas. But Jarasandha look at them and say, they don't look like brahmanas. They've got marks on their shoulders for where they hold the quivers. And they have deep commanding voices like kshatriyas. They seem to me like kshatriyas. So Krishna has a very deep voice and very deep intelligence. We would hope that the Supreme Lord has deep intelligence. It's not... not that we hope, but he must have, otherwise how can he not be God? The five long limbs are the nose, arms, eyes, cheeks and knees. A long cheek. It's interesting. The five fine limbs are the skin, hair on the head, hair on the body, teeth and finger joints. So Krishna has all these, all of these auspicious markings. And one elderly friend of Nanda Maharaj saying, how did such a person appear in the cowherd family? You don't expect in a Vaishya family, cowherd family. Even avatars of the Supreme Lord don't have all of these features. So how could someone like that appear in the family of a cowherd boy? And then lines on the hands or feet, such as a chakra. Some people have this, a chakra. Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, told me that Bhaktisiddhanta looked and saw there was a chakra on his hand and said, this indicates that you will chop all the bogus philosophies. Krishna, there are small books even describing the marks on the hands and the feet of Krishna. On his hands and his feet. So I'll just go through this quickly. Ruchiraha. This is quite a common name, isn't it, for girls? Ruchira. Is it in North India? You know, you heard that name also? In South India, I've seen it. One of my... Ruchika. That's different. That means tasty, doesn't it? Ruchira. You know that in South India, right? You know that? You've seen that? Yeah, one of my god sisters. It's called Ruchira, Prabhupada gave the name. So, he gives bliss to the eye by his beauty. So it's similar to... there are several qualities which in various ways describe the beauty of Krishna. Now, here's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam to demonstrate that. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all realized that whatever Brahma had previously created had now completely entered into Krishna. So they were saying, well, Brahma did a pretty good job in making the body of Krishna. Of course, Brahma doesn't make the body of Krishna. Krishna makes the body of Brahma. But it's said like that. It's another poetical way of praising the beauty of Krishna. Or here's another example. If the bee-like eyes of the gopis fall upon one of the eight lotus-like bodily parts of Krishna, the enemy of the Danavas, Krishna's name is given... Danujabit, they will not be able to rise from the thick honey of his beauty. And it's just like a bee may be attracted to the very sweet honey, and then they go and they get caught. So in the same way, the gopis' eyes are like bees and Krishna's beauty is like sweet honey. So if they put their eyes, they won't be able to remove it from there. Then, Tejas. This is the next one, number four. Tejas means, this has two meanings. One is effulgence, and the other is to be very strong and influential, for instance, in conquering enemies. So example is given, the Kostuba jewel, the best of jewels. Which is that jewel? Who wears the Kostuba jewel?
Vishnu.
Vishnu, Krishna, yes. So the Kostuba jewel makes the sun seem kind of insignificant. Just like the sun makes the stars look insignificant, the Kostuba jewel makes the sun seem insignificant, and Krishna's chest makes the Kostuba mani seem insignificant. So Krishna is so bright. Jiva Goswami comments, this is true, but Krishna also hides his effulgence in order to perform his earthly pastimes. Otherwise everyone would be blinded. Just like this Satrajit, when he would come bearing this Samantaka jewel, he was so bright, people couldn't look. They thought he was the sun god, he was so bright. And then Prabhava refers to his capacity to conquer all others. He's very influential. So there are many examples of that, how Krishna defeated all his enemies. For instance, here's an example given. It's like in the wrestling arena organized by Kamsa. Balian is similar, means filled with great strength, very strong. And a verse is given how he threw away the Arishtasura, who was bigger than a whole mountain range. And Krishna just picked him up and threw him away, like to a long distance, like a piece of cotton. Another example, may the left hand of lotus-eyed Krishna, which is lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, protect you. Just like a child may lift up a ball to play with that. So Krishna lifted up the Govardhan Hill. So how strong he must be. Then his ages, his different ages, they are some of his qualities. How in different ages he performs different pastimes. That his ages are Komar, Poganda, and Kaishor. But of them, that means just babyhood, childhood, and youth. So of all these ages, Krishna's youth is that's all the rasas can be engaged in when he reaches Kishore age. As a young child, even when very young, there's not even much chance of friendship or reciprocating in service with others. As a reciprocating service offered to him, as a young child, Krishna mostly only accepts the Vatsalya Bhav of those of his parents and others. As he gets a little older, then he can relate with the house servants of Mother Yashoda, and he starts to play with his friends, and Vatsalya Ras is there. And when he reaches the Kishore, then that age, then he has also the opportunity for loving relationships in Shringarasa, or male to female. So that's the full manifestation of his qualities, is in his Kishora age. Okay, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna, that's all for now. We'll do it more tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Come on, I was reading Bhaktirasamu Sindhu, so when I complete two parts, third part was a little difficult to understand. So I stopped fourth part. I didn't read. Is it okay, Ramaj, or is it? It's difficult actually to understand many things.
Yeah, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's about rasa. It's about bhakti and it's about rasa. So rasa can be appreciated. What is that? Vyatitya bhavana. What is that? Vyatitya bhavana. Let me look it up as I'm not remembering. Vyatitya bhavana vatma. Yachama kara bharabu. Riddhi sattva jvale. Badha Satvo Naui. Oh, didn't come up. Via Titya. Via Titya Bhavana Vardma Yas Chamatkara Bharabu Hridi Satvo Jvale Bardham Svadate Saraso Mataha Rasa. Is defined as that which is when one is beyond material thoughts, ordinary material thinking, vyatitya bhavana vatma, and which produces a deep sense of wonder in a heart which is resplendent with sattva, goodness, resplendent with purity. So that experience is known as rasa. So we find in the beginning of Bhagavatam, nirmatsaranam satam, that's in the second verse. And in the third verse, rasika bhuvi bhavukaha, those who are rasikas and bhavukas. So rasika means one who can appreciate rasa. Bhavuka means it's similar. So, rasa and bhava, these are linked. So, vyatitya bhavana vartma, one can appreciate rasa when he's gone beyond material bhavana, material, the materialistic way of thinking. That means to be nirmat saranam satam, to be free from envy of Krishna and envy of others. When one is very pure-hearted, then one can actually be rasika. So, if we don't understand the latter part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's not surprising, because it's not just a technical subject. But it is not just a technical subject, but it is highly technical, actually. It's, as Prabhupada subtitles the Nectar of Devotion, the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. It's actually very systematically organized. And that is one of the great contributions of the Gaudiya Sampradaya to Vaishnavism, is that no, outside of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, no one has systematically studied the science of rasa in the context of bhakti. It's the science of rasa is there with Bharat Muni and others, but in a mundane way. It's concerned with drama and poetry, concerned with mundane dramatics and poetry, but Rupa Goswami presented it in relation to bhakti, the absolute transcendental reality of one's existence in relation to Krishna, who is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, who is, I said that before, who is the very form of all nectarian rasas. So, if we don't understand it, well, what does Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami say in this regard, in similar? Now, there's a very famous verse of Madhavendra Puri, which is also on a very high level. Ai dina dayadra nata he mathura nata kadavalokya se hridayang tvadaloka kataram dayata brahmyati kim karomi aham. This Madhavendra Puri said, "O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now?" So we might relate with this, my agitated heart is unsteady, but it's not because of not seeing Krishna. It's because of seeing everything in this world and wanting to enjoy it. But nevertheless, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says about this verse, Ghoshite ghoshite joiche malayaj sha gondha bare toiche eshloke bicha. Just like if you rub sandalwood to get the chandan paste, we rub the sandalwood on a stone, don't we? And he says that by doing that, by rubbing and rubbing more and more, the fragrance increases. So similarly, this verse, if we go on considering it, then similarly we'll find it's similar to that the fragrance of it will increase more and more. So in the same way, we may not understand the topics, well, we can appreciate they're very sweet. So if we go on, we can gradually enter into them. But we have so many things to read, and if we find that very difficult, there's no need to try to make oneself a PhD in the science of Bhakti Rasa immediately. We can we have so many other things. So if you find it difficult, I would say read it anyway, but some appreciation will be there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can read it anyway, even if you... There are many points there. Even if we don't understand it. And understanding may come gradually. If we don't get introduced to the subject matter, how will we understand? Just like this, there's this Shravan Manan Nididhyasan that's recommended in the Shastra. Hear, think about it. Don't just hear as a formality, think about it, and then meditate on it deeply, and apply it in our lives, and by considering this, just like Srila Prabhupada said, this we should consider the subject matter, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, from all various angles. It means Krishna conscious angles, not from mundane academic angles. But we'll find, just like here it's stated, Madhavendra Puri, this his verse, the more we consider it, we'll find its unlimited depth. And as Prabhupada notes in one purport, if we read the whole Bhagavad Gita every day, we'll find every day there's more and more depth. We never reach the end of it. You read the whole Bhagavatam, and you say, oh, that's wonderful. And you go through it again, and you read it again, and you thought, oh, I didn't read it last time. There's so many things here. And this will go on all your life, because the Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. There's so many wonderful things, so many realizations. So we should be alive. Our intelligence should be alive. It's the thing is that modern education it teaches us to cram things in, and to think in a mechanical kind of way. It teaches us to be Shudra-like machines for some kind of technically oriented society. But philosophical thinking or rasik thinking, that means devotional thinking, that it's a different kind of mental process altogether. It's not just mental, it's not just something concerned with transmission of impulses between neurons, as the neuroscientists would have us believe, but it means studying Shastra means praying to Krishna, please reveal yourself to me. Sanjay says that who studies Bhagavad Gita, they worship Krishna by their intelligence. So everything is meant for worshipping Krishna, including our intelligence. So Krishna may inspire our intelligence. He inspires the mundane people. They invented so many things because they want that. So Krishna gives them the intelligence. So why will he not give the intelligence to devotees to understand him? He will. And he's giving the material for understanding him, which is the Shastra. And you're giving that to the people in general. And they also become inspired by reading that. We all have to start our journey somewhere. So for some people, getting this a book, it may be the first step in their journey. For others, it may be continuing a journey that they already started in previous lives. You see, some people, they get the books and it just immediately everything clicks and they take up Krishna consciousness. That means tatratang buddhi sang yogam labhante purvadehikam. That's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. The yogi takes up from where he left off in a previous life. Hare Krishna, you all have to go out in a few minutes, is it? All right, you have to pack up your book bags and everything. Okay, all right. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna.